last class we had broken up the first para into three distinct units, and wanted to go back and look at them. Start with Parak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, until past the first real unit. And if you have a Tanakh, if you look inside, in general, go please read the Tanakh. Please bring to class the Tanakh as well as Mikvah Sgadol. We're going to do a lot of the Mefarsh, we do a lot of the Pshat stuff, and a lot of Pshat stuff can very often be better be seen with the Tanakh, you see more from the page. But here, example, you see, and this is a great example, you see, at the end of Pasuk, test is a little bit of a break. In other words, the Parshas and Tumah is a little bit of a break. At the end of the paragraph, you begin to see that really Pasuk and Aleph and test are a unit. And that's the first unit. The second unit is Yud and Yud Aleph. You see again there's a break there as well. And the last unit is going to be from Yud Beis until the end of the paragraph, until Yud Ches. And let's just quickly give a title. Each of the three sections, that's always worthwhile and tricky to do them. Once you give a title to a section, you kind of see what you have there and helps you identify something that do belong and don't belong, gives you a clear understanding. I would suggest the first section is Hashem's Chizik to Yoshua. Yud Nid Aleph, the second section is Yoshua's speech to people. And then the last section, section three, is the discussion that Reuven, Gad, and Chetz Yosef Menashe have with Yoshua, and I guess as we go through the Pesukim, we'll get into that more properly. Let's start, take a look at the beginning, the first half. You have, Vayihi Acharei Mos, Moshe V'Hashem, after Moshe V'Hashem, Daz V'Yomer, Hashem al Yoshua Ben-Nun, Misharis Moshe Le'mar. Hashem speaks to Yehoshua, who is the Misharis Moshe. And he says, Moshe of the Mace, Latakum of Arthur Yardin Azeh, Tabacholam Azeh, El Ha'art, Hashemin of Saint Lahem, Dubna Yisrael. Now it's time to begin to pass through. And already in the Mefreshim, we begin to see a little bit of these titles, Misharis Moshe, Nachremos Moshe. I'm sorry, Yeshua's title and status, exactly where we're picking up with it. If you look at the Radak says in the Rimashkal, Misharis Moshe at the end of Pasuk Aleph. You guys, a second to find. You see it? You got it? Ruhu haya b'makom Moshe latzeis v'lagal b'fnei Yisrael v'achar shemeis Moshe tzivo Hashem l'avor ha'yardin in Yisrael. Seems to be a relatively apart statement. After Moshe dies, Yoshua takes over. Makes sense. No major comment. But if you look at Rashi, there's a totally different presentation. Take a look at Rashi. The Rimaskol Moshe avdi meis. Who wants to read it? Anyone want to read the Rashi? You okay? Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. Rashi says, V'ilu hayakayam bo hayiti chofetz. It's an unbelievable statement. And he continues on. But for our business, that's really what I wanted to read right now. It's almost as if to say that Yoshua is the backup plan. He's plan B. He's B'dievet. If Moshe was live, as bo hayiti chofetz, I'd want him instead. Which is an interesting thing to write. In other words, where the Sefer starts off is Moshe avdi meis, but nonetheless, he's really the first choice. Exactly why that is the case now is maybe worthwhile to think about, to look at that a little bit. Why anyone would say that? Why the Navi would start off the way? That's intentionally really what the Sefer is saying. Rashi believes it is. So why are we starting off with such a section? Worthwhile question to ask, worthwhile thing to think about. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. What's interesting also about this first little paragraph is before. Well, Pesukim Gimel. Let's read Pasuk Gimel. Kol makom asher tidroch kaf raglechem bo lachem nesatik asher divarti el Moshe. This Pasuk Gimel is almost a direct quote from Pesukim earlier on in Sefer Devarim. If you open up, take a look in Sefer Devarim. Let's turn back. Take a look at Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk. Chav Dalet, 11:14. Take a look back at the Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Dalet. There's a prophecy over there where Hashem tells Moshe, "Call Mahamalkom Asher Tidroch, Kaf Raglechem Bo Lachem Yemen Haaretz Val Benod Ben Anhar Nehar Pras Vad Hayam Acharon Yeg Vulchem." It's almost word for word the exact same thing. Both places you have Kol Makom, both places you have Asher Tidroch, both Kav Raglechem. Both ways you have Bo, then you have Lachem, Nasativ, both times it says that, except for in Devarim, it says Lachem Yihem in Aretz. But again, the details, almost word for word the same. Mehamidbar v'halvanon. We also have Mehamidbar v'halvanon, Mehanahar v'nahar pras, etc., etc. Word for word the same. And that's how Hashem's speech begins talking to Moshe, quoting word for word from Perek Yudalef, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, and again, Pasuk Yud Dalet as well. Lo yis tzeif ifnif ish mifneichem. That's being quoted word for word when the Navi over here says, where is it? Lo yis tzeif Pasuk Hei ish lifanecha. It is striking coincidence. It's not a word-for-word quote, and I think it is a word-for-word quote, and the question is why. But before we move on to that, you'll take a look at the second half of the speech, and that actually comes from a different part of Sefer Devarim. That comes from Perek Lamed Aleph. If you look in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin and Ches, the Pesukim there say, Vayikra Moshe Yoshua, Vayomer Elav, and here's like, La'ene Kol Yisrael, and this Ene Kol Yisrael is what's said in front of La'ene Kol Yisrael. We have to pay attention to that, because that's where the quotes begin. Chazak, the Amat, and that comes up three times in Sefer Yoshua. We still are getting reading Tvarim. Kiyata tevo asam azel haaretz. Hashem ishba, Hashem labo sam lafeis lahem. And that sounds very, very similar to Kiyata tinchal asam azel haaretz. Hashem ishba di labo sam lafeis lahem. The difference is one is past tense, which is Yoshua. I promised them in and you find the exact same thing again, word for word. Chazak v'amatz. I'm sorry. Again, going up back to Moshe. You get the impression that Yeshua is hearing a speech in which the first two parts of the speech are direct quotes from Sefer Devarim. One parak Yud Aleph, one parak Lamed. Perek Yud Aleph, let's look at the context for a minute. What's the context of the Pasuk Perek Yud Aleph? What's going on? You know anyone who knows what's going on? Take a look. Kaf Dalet, Kaf Hei, back to Yud Aleph. What's going on in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph? What's going on? Yeah, you can say, go ahead. Correct, they're being promised Eretz Yisrael, which is a really nice thing. They're being promised Eretz Yisrael, the land they're going to go into. And the bring promise if Am Yisrael is from Kiev, back up to the beginning of the section, Chaval, Kiim Shamor Tishmur is called Mitzvah Hazos, Shernoch Mitzvah Eschem Lazosa, Labas Hashem Lokech, Lech, Bechol Drachov, Lodav Gabo, if you are from, then you'll get Eretz Yisrael. Specifically, you'll get Eretz Yisrael. If you look later on, the other thing we did, the other part we read, the Perek Lamed Aleph thing, it's a specific prophecy predicting that Yoshua will be able to bring Eretz Yisrael in, and again, the repetition of Chazak Be'amat is clearly going back to Chumash. And we'll have to figure, what is it exactly about these two specific prophecies? What is it about these two specific points that seemingly are the appropriate, or maybe even perfect, speech to get Yehoshua ready and prepared to go? Why is this the message Hashem is telling Yehoshua? And I think it's because, I think the message is what Hashem is trying to tell Yehoshua over here is, you are the leader, and it depends upon you, as well as depends upon Am Yisrael being strong. There are two basic ingredients
Do you want to be successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael? Do you want to be successful in your wars, and the Kibush, and the Nachal, and the whole entire moving into Eretz Yisrael process? There are two parts. Yehoshua, you're part of it, and that's one significant part. And the second significant part is Am Yisrael being from, Am Yisrael being religiously committed. And that's basically what's going on here. Exactly why Yehoshua needs to be reminded about himself. Already you can begin to see that there's an emphasis being placed on Yehoshua in terms of him recognizing and realizing that he's the one who can take Klal Yisrael in. We'll get back to that point in a little bit. But let's move on to the second section, Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. Just take a look at the second section over here. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph, I apologize. Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph. Take a look at this speech. Vayitzav Yehoshua et shotrei ha'amle mar, Yeru v'kev ha'machane v'tzavu es ha'amle mar, hachinu lechem tzedah. Prepare for yourself tzedah. Earlier on in Chumash, the Jews left Mitzrayim without tzedah. It's an interesting observation. Maybe we'll get back to that a little bit later on. Ki ba'ot shlosh esimim atem avrim es ha'yardein hazeh, lavo l'resh es esarat asher Hashem lotechem nosein lechem l'rishna. In three more days we're going to go, and we're going to pass through the Yardein. Interesting. There is one other time where there was a three-day journey that took us to a body of water that split. That was the Yom Suf. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. This is Yeshua's basic speech. And what's problematic with it? What's different about this section of the three than the other ones? Yeah, correct. It's significantly smaller. It's much, much, much smaller. So much so that you wonder even what Yeshua is telling the people. What's really the point of his speech? What's he telling people? He's just telling them, get ready, we're about to go. And the question I guess one could ask is, when Sefer Yehoshua was written, when Yehoshua wrote Sefer Yehoshua, what did he want the reader to get out of these two psukim? This is a critical question to be asking in general when you're reading Chumash or Navi. What does the author, in this case Yehoshua, want me to get out of these two psukim? What am I supposed to think about Yehoshua's speech? And where's Yehoshua at, etc., etc.? What's going on here? What's the reader supposed to believe when he gets these two psukim? And the truth is, it's not only technically found here, but furthermore, the Farshim, the Ralbag, and the Mitzvahs David, they point out that this speech never really took place. I'll read the Mitzvahs David for a second. Af ki nemer kodim shiluach hamaraglim, mikom okam akarchacha, tzivoy hazeh acharechem. Ki bayom shahoch hamaraglim lanu b'yiricha, ubahar tit'akfu gimel yamim, ubachazir asam lanu b'mkomam, b'yom hashachrov lanu etzol hayardim, lachas avu hayardim. In other words, this is 3 days before the Yarden. Perek Bet, the story of the Meraglim, where Yeshua sends two Meraglim, two spies, to go to Yericho, to check out, to scope out the land, that actually took place earlier on, because the Meraglim were gone for at least a few days, much more than three. They were hidden by Racha for 3 days alone. It was a journey to get there. If you work out the math, Yeshua sent out the Meraglim in Perek Beis even before this speech took place, even before the three-day speech. So it's interesting. Not only does Yehoshua put the speech in here, but he puts it in out of order. And again, anytime anything's out of order, there are two questions one has to ask. Number one is, how do you know it's out of order? And that already the Mitzvah Dov explains to us. Radak makes the exact same points as well. I'm sorry, the Rabbag makes the exact same points as well. But the second question would be, well, why is it out of order? Why would anyone put something chronologically out of order? The answer is because thematically it must be appropriate. And the question then becomes, well, why is this thematically appropriate? What specific message, again, is the Sefer trying to convey to us, the reader, by quoting Yehoshua with such a small piece of speech? And I'd like to suggest that what's on everyone's mind, although it's not spoken, and again, that's why I think the Navi portrays it, it's hidden but not actually articulated, is how do B'nai Yisrael live with a post-Moshe existence? How does Yehoshua deal with it? How do the Jews deal with it? How do people live a post-Moshe Rabbeinu lifestyle? What are we supposed to do now that Moshe is dead? And I think that may be what Rashi was alluding to. And the Navi, when it spells out Pasuk Bei, is Moshe of the Mace, the answer is, Ilu hayakayim hayiti chafetba. Maybe that's what Hashem has in mind. What people have in mind is, how do you live after Moshe Rabbeinu? And why are you, till this day, trying to figure out how to fill my salvation shoes? You can imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu was everything to them. Brought them out of Egypt, split the sea for them, 10 plagues beforehand, fed them manna from the sky, gave them the Torah, led them through for 40 years in the Midbar, and all of a sudden, the man who is everything is now gone. And unfortunately, he along with the people, not blaming him, but he along with the people were not successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, Chumash has three parts. Number one is to build a nation, number two is to give them a Torah, number three is to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And in the times of Moshe, we were 2/3 successful. So you can imagine the daunting and overwhelming feeling Yehoshua must have had, the people must have had, everyone must have had at the time. Trying to be successful, trying to complete a task that Moshe himself was unsuccessful with his people at. And therefore the question is, what's going on in everyone's mind? And I think the answer is, everyone's petrified. How are we going to be successful if Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't? And that's what's going on in the Pasuk Avdi Misharis, I'm sorry, Moshe Avdi, Mace, according to Rashi. Potentially that's what's going on with these two speeches. Hashem has to give Yehoshua strength, not just that Klal Yisrael has to be from in order to be successful, but you, Yehoshua, you're the man to carry on. You're the man who's going to be successful to take Moshe, to fill in Moshe's shoes. And that's exactly what Hashem says to him, Kasher Hayiti im Moshe Yayimach. I'm not just going to be with you, but the same way Hayiti im Moshe, the same way I was with Moshe, I'm going to be with you. And that's exactly what Yehoshua has in mind. And it could even be Yehoshua's unbelievably short speech is a sense of fear and I don't want to call it lack of confidence because Yehoshua is a wonderful man, but lack of confidence specifically in this mission, when you have such an overwhelming mission in front of you, when you have, you know, such a daunting task lying in front of you, so there's a certain shortness of speech that Yahushua, you know, I guess he just comes, we're going, and that's it. It could be people were looking with piercing eyes. He was looking at himself with piercing eyes. Everyone had the feeling of, how does anyone fill Moshe Rabbeinu's shoes? And I think that's really what's going on in the third section as well, with the Reuven, Gad, and Chatishev, and Menashe. Let's take a look at that. Will the Reuven, take a look at Pasuk Yudbeis. Will the Reuveni, Lugad, Yichatishev, Menashe, Mar, Yashur, Lemar, Zachar, Zadav, Asher, Tzivatzchem, Moshe, Ved, Hashem, Lemar, Hashem, Lukeichem, Menyach, Lachem, Enasu, Lachem, Es, Haaretz, Azos. You guys made a deal with Moshe, Nesheichem, Tapchem, Mekneichem, Yeshu, Baruch, Asher, Nesan, Lachem, Moshe, Be'ever, Hayardik, Vatem, Tibu, Chamushim, Lifnei, Chamushim, by the way, same word as Chumash. When they left Mitzrayim, they left Chamushim as well. We'll leave that out for right now. Lifnei Achichem, Kol Hibur HaChayil Vazartem Osam, Ad Asher Yaniach Hashem LaAchichem, Kachem Yirashu, Gam Hema, Es HaAretz, Asher Hashem Lokechem, Yisrael Lachem, Yishavtem LaAretz, Yirush Aschem, etc., etc. And then in Pasuk Tad Zayin Vayinu Es Yahushua Leymar Karsha Tzim Hasanu Nase V'chol Asher Tishlachenu Nelech V'chol Asher Shemanu L'moshe Kein Yishma Elecha, on the condition, the Radak spells it out the clearest. We'll do everything on condition that you were the same way Moshe was. In the same way Hashem was with Moshe, he'll be with you. In other words, the two and a half tribes, maybe spell it out the clearest. Yeah, we will keep our end of the bargain. We will continue our deal. We'll do what we're supposed to do. And they continue on the condition. And call Ish Asher Yamret Pichav Lo Yishmaet Varech L'Chol Asher Tatzevenu Yamutz Rak Chazak V'Amatz. And they tell him the exact same thing. It's beautiful that Hashem says Chazak V'Amatz to Yahushua. They say the two and a half tribes say to Yahushua, well, everyone wants Yahushua to be successful. They want to have Yahushua fill Moshe Rabbeinu's shoes, but it's an unbelievably daunting task that Yahushua has and that the Jews have in front of him. Why specifically does Yahushua have a conversation with these two and a half tribes at this particular point in time? What's the fear? What's the concern? So the truth is, if you look back to Sefer Bamidbar, in Perek Lamed Bet, you'll see something unbelievable. Take a look, open up the third page, it's worthwhile doing. Take a look, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk, let's start with Pasuk Aleph over here. So Umikne Rav Hayal Ruvain Lubnei Ruvain Lubnei God. Atsuma Od. How many tribes we mentioned? Ruvain and God only. Vayru Eseretza Yazer Veseretza Yilad Vine Makom Mikne. Designed for shepherds, designed for sheep, rather, Vayavo Bnei God Ubnei Ruvain Vayomro Moshe Velazar Kohen Velasei Dalimar. Atasivon, etc., etc. These places are good places. Aren't the Sheri Ka Shem Lufnei Adas Israel? Eretz Mikne He Balabadecha Mikne. So far, only Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad are speaking, and they don't even actually make a request. There's a little bit of a pause. Vayomu, and they further saying, it's almost as if Moshe didn't respond to them at first. He didn't want to deal with it, but then they actually outright, formally go ahead and ask. They say, Imatenu chen beinecha, then yutan es ha'art azos lavdecha, lachuza al tavireinu es ha'yardein. Vayomu Moshe l'vnei Gad l'vnei Reuven. And Moshe responds to who? Only Gad and Reuven. Again, Chatishev Menach is not yet mentioned again. Is it possible your brothers are going to go to Milchama and you're going to go here? And Moshe responds, you know how bad that is, it's crazy, etc., etc. And all the way through, and then he goes through them again, and Pasuk Chaf, they pick up, Vayomru Aleihem Moshe, Im Tasus Adavar Azem, Tel Chatsu Lefnei Hashem Elu Milchana, we'll go with you to war, don't worry, we'll be with you, etc., etc. Vayomru Bnei Gadav Nei Reuven Al Moshe Lemar Vedacha Yasuk Asher Adim Mitzaveh, we'll do what we say. And again, in Pasuk Chaf, it's only Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven following along. Same thing with Pasuk Chaptes. Vayomer Moshe Aleihem Im Yavru Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven Itchemes Hayardein. Then Kol Chalutz and Lachamal Bnei Hashem and Nechushav. You go along. Then Haaretz of Nechem Nisati Lahem Es Eretz Agila Lachuzal. Give it to you. Vayanu again Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Leimar Zasher Dibra Hashem Alavdecha Kei Naseh. We're willing to do it. Then when it comes out to actually allocating the land in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, what's shocking is Vayitein Lehem Moshe Levnei God Levnei Reuven V'Lechati Sheva Menashe. Ma pitom? It's shocking that Menashe all of a sudden gets added in. They didn't ask. And there's a special description of Menashe Ben Yosef. We'll have to figure out why that's the case in a second. The pasuk dalav ayivnu bnei gad as divon uvnei ruvein banu as cheshbon. And again, the chatish avinashi doesn't seem to build. They don't seem to be as excited. They kind of get thrown in there, and they get thrown in there as ben Yosef, bnei Yosef. And the question is, why is that? Why did they get such a nachal along and every other with the other ones? A suggestion I once heard is that. I guess what beforehand, let me just ask one more question. Why only did half the tribe of Manasseh go? Why not give them all a Shiv Manasseh? Whatever they were supposed to do, why not give them all a Shiv Manasseh? So it could be the message is the biggest fear of Chatzi God, of God rather, and Reuven being separate is a lack of Achdus Yisrael. Them separating, becoming their own nation, you'll see later on at the end of the Sefer, Perek Chavet, they actually build them as Mizbeach, and the Jews go crazy, they're nervous, they're concerned, that they're separating, that they're doing the Avodah Zarah. There is a very significant concern that if they're going to be in a different land, they're going to be different people. One of the best ways of uniting them is to have half of Menashe with them and half of Menashe with Klal Yisrael. Specifically, Menashe ben Yosef, because Yosef is the one who represents the damage of sinas chinam. Yosef is the one who represents the potential harm of sinas chinam and how bad it can be. It's specifically Menashe ben Yosef, Yosef's bechor, Menashe, who's going to, in a certain sense, serve as the glue to bringing these people back together. And I think the point Yoshua is doing is reminding everyone, if we want to be successful in Eretz Yisrael, it's got to be a team effort, it's got to be with Achdus, etc., to make sure everyone's on board, specifically people who might not be, specifically after Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer the leader, if there's some people who are going to jump ship and leave the Klal Yisrael team because Moshe is no longer the leader, well, it's going to be these two people. So Yoshua tests and checks with these two tribes, two and a half tribes, and they all respond, yeah, we're going to be with you as long as you are with Moshe as well. And again, it's beautiful to note that the Jews say Chazak Ve'amat, not just they say we're with you, but they're quoting Moshe Rabbeinu's specific lashon, the success, the bracha that Moshe gave to Yoshua, they generally want the success. And just to further this point one more time, the main theme of Perek Aleph and Sefer Yoshua is how do the Jews deal with a post-Moshe era? If you had to guess, is what the word used most in this entire Perek is the Milah Mancha. I guess I should give you a brief description of what a Milah Mancha is. Anyone know? Nobody. So there's a principle in, I guess, in learning that's used much more in the modern scholarly world, a lot of the full modern scholarly world as well. There's this principle called the Milah Mancha, the word that is used, that leads, that is comes up the most. And Moshe Rabbeinu's name comes up the most more than anything else. It comes up in the first little section 6 times, in the parak 10 times. In contrast to Yeshua, comes up maybe only 3 times or so. In other words, Moshe is what's on everyone's mind right now. The Sefer starts off with Yachrei Mos Moshe Eved Hashem, and the parak Aleph is all about how do you deal with Acharei Mos Moshe Eved Hashem. That's the Milah Mancha, which very often, subtly, and maybe even in a hidden manner, helps communicate Hashem's message. And it could be the reason why it's in a hidden manner is because no one said it explicitly to them. You know, Yoshua, how are you going to fill in Moshe's shoes? The 2.5 tribes came close, but no one said it that clearly. But it's what's on everyone's mind. It's hidden. It's on everyone's mind. Everyone's thinking about it. No one actually says it, but that's what's going on over here. It's reflected in the first speech that Hashem gives to Moshe. It's reflected in Yoshua's small little speech. It's reflected in the fact that Yoshua addresses the 2.5 tribes. It's reflected in their answer. It's reflected in the Milah Mancha. And I guess while we're at it, the two other words that are come up a lot in this parak are the word Natan that comes up 7 times in Eretz. 7 times, I guess, it's foreshadowing for the future. And the main, I guess, theme, you know, of parak Aleph is, how is Moshe, how are the Jews going to continue in the post-Moshe era? And you'll see, Mitzvah Hashem, as we carry on and continue, we'll see Yoshua's success and how he rises to the occasion, eventually how they do. I guess the take-home message is, believe in yourself, believe in Klal Yisrael. If Hashem promises us that we can be successful, if Hashem promises us we can conquer Eretz Yisrael, if Hashem says, if you are from, the sky is the limit. So the message is, believe in yourself, believe in Klal Yisrael. Hashem said it, it's true. I noticed this week with a shorter shiur, Mirta Hashem will be shiurim to come will be regular at our shiurim. Appreciate everyone's patience and paying attention. And the Mirta Hashem will pick up next week.